Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Got an email last night from a guy who told me a tale of woe. And he said I can use this story as material here on a video, and I think it's important. It's actually a topic I've touched on a few times in the past. But he says, "Dear Steve, I'm a huge fan of your work. I've been watching on YouTube for several months now. Several months? I've been doing this for 9 years. And I always click the like button on every single video. Well, thank you for that." And he says, "I recently watched a video of yours, and it reminded me of a used car purchase disaster my wife and I are going through right now. So, he says, if I want to, I can use this. So, here's the deal. In July of 2022, he and his wife had a problem with a car, needed to get another car. They found a great deal on a 2007 Lexus on Craigslist. Car was listed in the buy owner section, for sale by owner. And the seller seemed reputable. They had a few scheduling issues, but eventually met with the seller in person and checked out the car. Everything checked out, and we were pleased with the condition and the price. The seller even told us a story about how he's a big fan of Lexus. He's had a bunch of Lexuses, and he assured us that he was the actual owner of the car and that his name was on the title. Despite not asking for his driver's license to verify his identity, we were confident in our purchase and handed him $5,800 on the spot. We signed the title and bill of sale and went on our way." Now, those are the pertinent facts, and you might be able to guess what the problem here, of course, is that the man who sold him the car is not the man whose name was on the title, and that's a problem. So he says, "The next day we went to DMV to register the vehicle, but the clerk informed us that the title we had was invalid. Apparently, a newer title had been issued just a month ago, and our title was useless. We immediately tried to contact the seller, who became unresponsive. Eventually, he got back to us and said that he was not the actual owner of the car. He had purchased the car from a woman who had obtained a duplicate title, and she had used it to take out a title loan. Therefore, the title loan company was actually the owner of the car, and we couldn't get the title until the loan was paid off." So does that mean they've got to go pay it off? Or was the seller planning on paying it off? Or what's going on here? He says, "We were stunned by the news, but we demanded that we either get the title in a week or we get a full refund. He promised to get the title, but failed to do that, leaving us no other option but to file a lawsuit against him for fraudulent activity." Now, he mentions doing that in summary court. And my first thought was that that was a voice-to-text error. But actually, summary court is what they call magistrate court in some states. We don't use that term here in Michigan, so it was news to me. But some of you, South Carolina, for instance, does this, where they call a magistrate court a summary court. And I'm suspecting it is similar to small claims. So the police told us that that's the route we needed to go because they think it's a civil matter. So now our hopes are all pinned on the civil case. And he talks about all the evidence they have, and it turns out that they've now found out this guy is on Facebook listing all kinds of cars for sale, and the cars seem to turn over, which suggests that he's selling multiple cars every year, which would mean that he probably needs to be licensed as a car dealer, but many people do this. I've talked about that before. It depends on what state you're in. Some states, if you sell 5 cars a year, you need to be licensed. And I know a lot of people who do that who don't get licensed, and they rarely get caught. But here's the problem. You go to buy a car from somebody, and they say, "Yeah, it's my car. Give me the money, I'll give you the title and the keys." They take the money, you get the title and the keys, they run away from the transaction. And you turn out to find that the title's no good. What is this? So here is my explanation as best I can tell you. And this is what's important to know. Should you be going to summary court, small claims court, or whatever court you have where you are in a situation like this? Under the law of the Uniform Commercial Code, which governs the sales of things, sale of goods, that someone selling you something is providing you what's called a warranty of title. This is one of those warranties that no one needs to discuss. It just happens as a matter of law. Much like the implied warranty of merchantability, which I talked about a few days ago, literally exists by operation of law unless disclaimed, but no one needs to bring it up. So if I walk up to you and say, I can sell you this thing, this widget, you say, I want to buy that thing, and I hand it to you and take your money, If I did not give you good title to that thing, I have breached the warranty of title. If you don't believe me, look it up. It's UCC 2-312. The warranty of title and against infringement, it's called. Buyer's obligation against infringement. So the first section says, there is in a contract for sale a warranty by the seller that the title conveyed shall be good and its transfer rightful, and the goods shall be delivered free from any security interest or other lien or encumbrance of which the buyer at the time of contracting has no knowledge. So if the buyer doesn't know about the lien, it's on the seller to notify them. But they're also required to transfer good title rightfully, okay? And so when someone, like I said, stands there and goes, yeah, this Lexus right here, it's a great car. You want to buy it? I've got the title and I can sell it to you. The fact that the guy doesn't deliver good title is a violation of the warranty of title. Now, here's the thing. I know that most magistrates who hear cases in summary court, small claims court, or what have you, are used to the idea that people walking in off the street don't know what the law is. But unfortunately, not all the judges know every single law, because imagine the blue books behind me are the laws of the state of Michigan, which they are. No one, no human being can know everything that's in all of those books. So it might help you to look that up, and you can Google it for whatever state you're in. Type in Michigan Warranty of Title, UCC, or Nevada Warranty of Title, UCC, and you'll get something that probably contains a designation as 2312, Section 2, Sale of Goods, 312, Warranty of Title. It's all you got to do is explain those facts. Now, here's the problem. Can you get the guy who sold you the car to show up in court? Because if you don't know what his name was at the time of the transaction, how do you know it now? That's the number one concern. But if you can get the guy served and drag him into court, well, yeah, because basically the guy tried to sell you a car, but he failed because he didn't deliver good title. Now, this is also something I think I should probably just touch on, is a lot of people know that I talk about the title of things, the title to a car, the title to a house, whatever it might be. And a lot of people know that there's an actual document that says certificate of title on it. But it says certificate of title, not title, certificate of title. And so the states have this system whereby they keep track of who has good title to things with that certificate of title that they issue. But that piece of paper is not actually the title. The title is the legal ownership of the thing. So as you can imagine, I own a couple cars. I've got a 2002 Ford Explorer. Love that thing. I'll drive it for the next 20 years. And I have a title to it. But if I were to lose that title, or someone were to tear it up, or I still own the vehicle. And you're going to say, but Steve, you can still order another title. Yeah, but for the time being, I don't have one. If I don't have the title, I still own it. So the certificate of title is what we call evidence of ownership. But the title is a legal concept, okay? So when this guy shows up to sell you a car, and he's got a title in someone else's name, and there's a lien on it for a title lender, the fact that he has possession of the car, he doesn't own that car. He does not own that car. So he cannot sell you that car if he does not own it. And now you might say, but Steve, suppose the woman who took out the title loan on it sold it to this guy. Well, states say for the sale to be good, they must be recorded and so on, and there's a process for doing that. So if I meet with you and sell you this thing for $5, when I hand it to you and you hand me the $5, you now own it, okay? But that's simply because there is no system that says, oh, by the way, for the sale or for the transfer of the sale of this thing, you've got to register it someplace for that to be legal. So the state can put into place laws that say ownership of this thing only transfers when it's done a certain way. And automobiles are the most obvious example of that. So if you were in this situation going into court soon, what you want to do is get out a copy of 2-312. It's a part of the Uniform Commercial Code, and the judge will enjoy this if the judge doesn't know it. For you to explain, as you know, Your Honor, Article 2 is a sale of goods. 312 addresses the warranty of title. and that man attempted to sell us a car that he did not hold title to, and he was incapable of delivering it to us with good title. Therefore, he has breached 2312. And as a result of that, we are entitled to our money back. Now, you can make an argument regarding fraud or misrepresentation, but those are actually much more complicated. If you have to look at all the various facts that go into a fraud claim, or all different, you know, elements of the fraud claim, it's quite complicated. Misrepresentation might also work that in there as well. But the warranty of title is the simplest one. He purported to sell us a car. We attempted to buy a car, and he failed to deliver good title. Therefore, when the dust settles, we've got a car that we don't own. He's got our money. So, like I said, my number one concern is, can you actually identify the guy and serve him? Number two, will he show up in court? Number three, you get a judgment against him, will he pay it? But I believe you've headed in the right direction, and that would be heading off to summary court, which is apparently what they call that in your state. And please let me know how that goes, because it's an interesting case. Let me know. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Don't wait around for other people to be happy for you. Any happiness you achieve, you've got to make yourself.